when I turned on the TV last night and they said, coming up, the shock announcement with Bruce McAvaney. I thought, gee, I didn't know that they were going with it this early. This early. I guess they needed to get it out there and tell people what's going on. But what an unbelievable commentator. Now, he's still going to be part of the Olympic Games and the horse racing, that type of thing. What an unbelievable commentator he has been over the years.
Extraordinary. And we can reminisce, and we will all day, I'd imagine, on this station and around the country, reminisce about the calling of Bruce, and we'll take your calls and your memories and what's your favourite part of it. The big question now is who takes over. That's all I'm interested in.
I know that's all you're interested in.
There's some egos. There's some proud
men.
Well,
you don't need to have an ego to be it, though.
What?
Because Bruce didn't have the big ego.
I'm not talking about Bruce. I'm talking about the potential replacements.
I know, but I'm just getting back to him for 1 second.
Gee, there'd be some.
Well, you know those guys better than anyone.
So who are
the front liners?
Brian.
BT.
James.
JB.
JB. Hamish.
And Hamish.
What about Basil?
Well, I think Basil, this won't be going to Perth just yet, will it? I think they've got a public holiday over there. I don't think he'll be working. He's sort of been, because of his other activities, he's mayor of Perth now, he's sort of been shuffled back in the pack.
Giannis and Tokotomatu.
That's it?
That was the last thing that he did.
I want you to shoot this down or not. What about Eddie Maguire fronting up Channel 7 football?
Well, I listened to Coxie.
Silence,
I listened to Coxie, our button man here, on Friday night calling the AFLW. Now, he's just dipped his toe into the world of commentary.
Yeah.
He's got more chance of replacing Bruce McAvaney than Eddie Maguire.
What about Jason Bennett? He's calling the AFLW.
Coming from too far back. A very good caller, by the way.
Jared Waitley?
Do they
need the Waitley style?
Well, the gravitas.
With the cred and the beyond reproach. Like, those are the two I love and love dearly. They got a little bit of mischief about them.
That's okay, though.
Do you want your figurehead right up there, or are you just happy to be? What about the Wisp?
Matty Hill. What about Matty Hill? Actors came through too. We had him on the program on Friday. He wants to call football. Maybe a little bit early for Matty to step in and take over from Bruce McAvaney as the main caller on Channel 7. But can I just say this about Macca?
I hope Hutto's locked away.
Well,
Fox.
Hutto. Hutto's one of the finest callers. Hutto is one of the finest callers in the country, I think. McAvaney, you don't know Bruce that well, do you? You've never worked with him?
No, I have not.
No. He is one of the most generous, most gentlemanly, most popular people that anybody could work with in the media.
Yep.
He's so giving of himself people. Everybody likes him because that's not to say, people have got their opinions about his commentary, that type of thing. But I can tell you, no one would be more respected and liked and loved at Channel 7 for the way that he treats people than Bruce McAvaney.
Right. We'll do a lot of Bruce throughout the day. And we've got a mull of messages.
You're not interested in the nice stuff about him, are you? You just want to move straight past him.
What?
You just want to move straight past poor old Bruce.
I do not. I love
it's
Bruce.
It's nice to reflect on people and the job that they've done over a long period of time.
This is 24-7. You will be 24-7, Bruce, throughout the course of the day. And we put a call in too. And he's having a few days off, Bruce. So we couldn't get him on today, unfortunately.
You know who's going to be more disappointed than Bruce, though? Or more disappointed than anyone?
Who?
Shawnee.
What's he going to do?
I don't know. I don't know who he's going to attach himself to now.
Ryan. JB.
I'm not sure either those guys have got the patience for Shawnee. I'm not sure. What do you think? You know him better than I do.
The strong rumour off the temper text is that Sonia Kruger is going to be the front woman for AFL football.
I can deny that.
Well, how could you possibly deny that?
I can because I know that she won't be taking
front
over from
person
Bruce.
For every other thing on Channel
1. No, she's not. But she won't
is.
Be doing. She won't be doing the footy. Das, what about the
Duke?
Yeah, what about the Duke?
Yeah, I love him. I'm a big Duke fan.
Has he got it? Or a little bit early in his career?
Is he got? Yes.
What about Lingy?
He's not a caller, Lingy.
Richo.
Neither is it. Anyway, send them through. Send all your suggestions through. I'm wondering whether Eddie Maguire is going to get a call. Wispy shot that one down pretty quickly.
No, well, there's no way known that Channel 7 are going to go to Eddie Maguire. Eddie Maguire's just stood himself down from all his media duties anyway, hasn't he? When are we going to see him on Fox?
What, have 7 and Eddie not had discussions previously?
A long time ago, I think they did, yeah. When are we going to see him on Fox?
Not sure.
Was he at your big powwow the other day or not?
We didn't have a powwow.
You were heading... Well, where did you go then after the show? You said you're heading off to a Fox powwow.
There was a one-on-one, COVID-inspired one-on-ones we're having.
You said you had a few heads to whack. That's what you said when you left here. So I've got some backsides to kick. I'm just heading off to Fox.
I'll give your head a whack. That's what I'll be doing.
Andy Maher, a sneaky chance. No,
no,
he's not
chance
a sneak
at all.
I was about to say, I don't have any intelligence.
This is
no, Sam Peng's got more chance than Andy Maher.
Commercial television. Andy will take us into Saturday morning. Very good caller.
Throw out some names. I can help you out here. Ring in. I'll be the representative of Channel 7, and you can help me out too, Gary. Alex is on the road. He wants to talk about Friday night footy. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, boys. I think they reviewed the tapes from back in 2004-05 Sunday afternoon footy, and they've seen the team then, and I think they want Gary over there on Friday night as well to get the team back together.
Wow. I've tried, Alex. I have tried my darndest to get Gary across to Channel 7. And look, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of his departure from AFL Squadron all those years ago. I don't know what's at it, but it's still left a bad taste in his mouth and he won't come back to Channel 7. What did they do to you?
I wasn't on contract with Channel 7.
What did Channel 7 do to you all those years ago?
Nothing.
Well, why have you got it in for Channel 7 then?
Nothing.
Lewis says that all
he
to
does
the
not.
He says, why doesn't Gary like us?
I love you. I love the Wisp. I think you could be front man.
Jason Richardson?
No.
Brett Kirk?
Interesting, but no.
Martin Tyler?
Come on.
Wrong sport. No, you can't do it. KB?
Send them through. Keep sending them through. It's a huge gaping hole that's being left and it needs to be filled.
I'm going to put you under the pump here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to choose. They're all your mates, I know that. But you're fearless when it comes to this sort of
stuff.
No
doubt about that.
Who's your Friday night team? Who's your replacement for Bruce McAvaney?
JB. It'll be, I would think, and we'll ask Lewis when he comes on at 7, I would think Brayshaw and Taylor, Friday night. James is smart. He won't bring the full on comedy of the Triple M call because that would be the concern. Everyone would be going, "Oh, those two clowns." He's a smart operator, Jim. He'll play much straighter on a Friday night on television. Brian will continue to be larger than life, and they'll surround him with the call. Who's the specials they got?
Duck was doing a Friday night.
Yep.
It's been mixed up a lot the last 12 months or so because of COVID last year. But also the Friday night teams, and then the Thursday night has become almost the biggest night of the week for the football.
Yeah. Well, then you got Amy; he's in the mix
very much. She does the Brownlow, does a magnificent job at the Brownlow as well. Calls Kieran's in Kilsyth; he's got a nomination for us. Good morning, Kieran.
Morning, boys. How you going?
We're good, Kieran.
I know he's been doing a lot of cricket lately, but Mark Howard at all?
Well, Fox. There's a name that hasn't popped up yet.
Fox man, Kieran, he's contracted to Fox.
That's true. Okay, so let's just... This is a really deep and serious question I'm going to ask you, okay? Of all those callers at Fox, who do you think would be most likely to entertain an offer from Channel 7 and move across?
Every one of them. But they'll all stay.
They're all rock solid.
They love
it. It's a big contract.
Hey, it goes both ways, Wisp. The loyalty is to your employer at the time, but no, I think Hutto'd be locked away.
Who's most gettable? Jared?
Benny Waterworth?
No,
he's
come
an
on.
Up-and-comer?
No.
None.
Top rung.
I tell you, none, because they love Fox.
They may love Fox.
They love Fox.
But every man has his price,
well,
as you
true.
Well know.
No, that is true. They all love it.
But, who should we go after? Who's the most gettable?
Look, this is the thing. Bruce Lee leaves. Bruce has got this presence, born from his experience, and you don't. And on a serious note, there'll be a discussion about the Triple M because it's Duck, Brian, JB.
Mm.
You know, Channel 7 are an older audience. So you got to be a bit careful there.
Mm.
You got to be very careful. That's why I think you coming back can just. You appeal to the older set. Might just temper it a little bit. Jason Bennett.
Yeah, well.
He calls an AFLW.
He does a fine job.
Is he in contention?
No, he wouldn't be. To be honest, he wouldn't be in contention to take over from Bruce. He's not going to come from where he is now and leapfrog all those other guys and then become the Bruce McAvaney.
Is it going to become a little hard rocking Triple M Channel 7? Is it? It's going to be that go down that
track? No, it won't go down that track either. Lewis Martin is the managing director of Channel 7. Lewis, what did you think, more importantly?
Oh, Tim, I was lucky enough to have several conversations with Macca over the years. And one thing about Bruce McAvaney, he is very honest. And we sat down and we tried to map out the year. And he looked at me, he said, something's got to give. And he wants to leave on top and he wants to have a few more years in broadcasting. So we just sat down and worked out how that might happen. And as a result, he's stepping back from footy.
Hey, Louis, you know, players always announce before they're about to retire that this is going to be their last game. Was there any thought given to maybe just allowing him to do one last game as a farewell game? Or did you think that was sort of like a bit too much along the lines of being self-indulgent?
Well, that's one thing Macca's not. So he wasn't about that. It kind of just all of a sudden made me realise about Tommy Haley when he came to 70. I think he was on 198 games. And we said, do you want to do the last two? To get you 200, and he said that wasn't what he was about. McAvaney's not about that. He's just committed to. He wanted to finish on top of his game. Have you got a bit more on the tank? Absolutely, but I think that's the way he always wanted to just step back from footy, was that he had a bit more to give. So with an Olympic year and happening, we've got an incredible year coming up, Tim, as you know, with we're footy in a couple of weeks, supercars into Tokyo, back into footy finals and the Paralympics and grand finals, Bathurst 1000, the Ashes and into the Beijing Olympics. So it's a unique 12 months. So when we mapped it out with Macca, he came to the realisation that in order for him to be the best he could be, something had to give. And in this instance, it was the footy.
Sorry, Luke, do you think the whole COVID-19 thing last year, the disruption, do you think that played a part in all this?
Well, I think everybody went through a hell of a lot. I certainly don't want to make comparisons here, but Gary will tell you that broadcasting during COVID off tube and off screens was pretty challenging. I think it gave Bruce time to think about that year. I thought last year was an extraordinary achievement by all broadcasters to have pulled off what they did and to have delivered the product they did. And I felt that, Bruce would probably tell you, it was an extraordinary, probably his best year, which is one of the reasons why I think he made the decision that what broadcasters pulled off last year, commentators, et cetera, was quite extraordinary. And I think that he felt that was not a bad way to salute the footy.
Hey, good morning, Louis. Great to have you on and talk about the icon that is Bruce McAvaney. We once talked about, in a footy sense, to a coach of Carlton when they had Stephen Silvani. He said, you know what, the great joy about Stephen Silvani is it doesn't matter who we're playing. We put his name at fullback, and if it's Lockett or it's Ablett or it's Dunstall, we go, at least we've got the best that we can have. Anything that is thrown your way from a footy point of view over the last 20, 30 years, however long it's been, whether it's a Brownlow, whether it's in a extraordinary game, you've had Bruce McAvaney. How do you replace him?
Oh, you don't. You don't. You don't replace a Bruce McAvaney. You build a team over a period of time. I mean, and succession planning is really important in any organisation, whether you're a footy club or a corporation or a broadcasting, sports broadcasting team. So you don't replace Bruce. You build a team that goes forward and they become their own. They take their own opportunities to establish their personas and their calling style. So, no, not for a second. Gary, did anyone at Seven think we were going to replace Bruce? By the way, he certainly, the big part of this decision is that his career can go on for several more years. That's one of the reasons, the overriding reason was that when we sat down, I said to him, are we talking 1 year at a time, Macca, or are we talking several years? And we came to the conclusion we were talking several years. So when you look at things in that context, you start to make plans for that to happen.
Have you got your Friday night team? You got your replacements? You want to announce that here?
No, we're getting to that. We're getting to that, Gary. So out of respect for the boys, but look, a couple of the key guys obviously were aware of Bruce's decision. That was pretty interesting too. I think we all forget there's a lot of depth to the relationship between the team that work on air. So we'll have a broad roster, Gary. There'll be no specific replacement to Bruce McAvaney.
What time did Brian ring it?
No, well, Brian and Bruce had their own discussion. And Brian is, look, he's a big bear, Brian. Sometimes a cuddly one, sometimes an angry one. But no, he was quite affected and impacted because Bruce has meant a lot to him. And by the way, and Brian to Bruce, you know, they created a unique relationship that a lot of people probably didn't think was going to occur the way it did. But they were both great for one another. Brian was a bit. I'd probably think if you were to speak to BT, he might say he was a tad emotional about it because Bruce had given him so much.
Hey, Louis, there's a lot of egos in this business. We all know that. And everyone has, you know, I think there are. Maybe you haven't come across this part of it. But Bruce, to me, and he has an ego, like everybody that is in this business has, but I would say that he's one of the most loved and most authentic characters or people that I've met in this world. Is that how you've found him too?
Look, I'm really lucky. The word you just said there was authentic. That's the key to it. Anybody listening, you see Bruce McAvaney on the street walking to the MCG or you see him walking to the races, he will stop and say, "G'day." People will say, "Oh, Bruce, I met you. You know, I saw you at the MCG in '86. He goes, "Oh, what game was it?" And they'll tell the game. And of course, then, you know, he'll sit there and talk about the specific game that was there and who played and how many votes they got. And he's just authentic. There's what you see is what you get. There is nothing. Well, one of the great things about McAvaney is that the fellow you see on camera is the fellow that's off camera.
Footy's going to miss him. There's no doubt about that. Just other matters, though, at hand, too.
I haven't finished.
I was just going to talk about the actual fixturing.
Oh, okay.
You keep going on this topic,
I'll come back to the fixturing.
Because we know the WA government is still making it difficult to fly in, fly out, that type of thing. In terms of your fixturing, what are your expectations in the early rounds of the AFL season as it stands right now?
Oh, the 6 weeks that are published, I guess. Look, in this... The other weekend when we had that 5-day lockdown, I think that just reminded us all that we're still in this sort of step-by-step process. So we've still got a pragmatic way of looking at it, Tim. We've got a broadcast model. Whatever's thrown at us, we'll deal with as the team at Fox have got. So I've got the first 6 weeks in my head for our team. Gary O'Keefe, he's just a remarkable operator. He's sitting there working with a whole bunch of scenarios. So 6 weeks of fixture, if that changes, it changes, we'll deal with it.
So are you anticipating calling in Perth in Western Australia?
No. No, I don't think you can, Gary. I think you look at that and you look at what you know now and you think about what's the minimal risk, what's certainty. If you all of a sudden you jump into another town at the moment and you've got that 5-day lockdown, then you could be stranded. So we tend to take a conservative approach until we get confidence that we're not going to have any sort of snap lockdowns and those sorts of things. But that's just part of the minefield of COVID, and we've all broadcasters have stepped through it pretty well, I think.
Indeed. I'm just wondering, like, so Fremantle play Melbourne on the weekend of the first round, and then they are due to play in Perth in round two, and as it stands right now, they'd have to go into a 14-day quarantine. So these, I guess, some of the issues that everyone in footy's having to deal with.
Travis Auld can fix that up. Travis will give me a call. But look, I don't want to be flippant about it. It was like a tour of duty last year, learning a hell of a lot. We go into this year with knowing things that we had no idea about the same time last year, and things that were scary or uncharted last year are just sort of well-trodden paths now. So broadcast-wise and logistics-wise, we're pretty certain that no matter what gets thrown at us. And as you know, Gary, Mick Neal down at Fox, he's as well prepared as anybody. So I don't think there's going to be any, broadcast issues. It'll be more about where and when and who.
Just coming through off the temper text, Louis, people want to know who replaces Bruce then in terms of, okay, you've got one caller out. Do you bring another caller into the team?
No, we don't at the moment. No, we've been building a roster that can spread across the commentary roster, can spread across the weekend, Tim. So there won't be any big name signings. There will be some fresh faces, though, but there'll be no replacement of Bruce McAvaney. We've got some, you know, you've got to think we really what was the word? It's part of a succession plan with Macca has been occurring for many years now, and so Brayshaw, I really enjoyed James's call. BT, obviously. Luke Darcy, Hamish McLaughlin. We've got Jason Bennett and Nigel doing the VFL. Joe Wooten coming through there. So we've got quite a roster of callers to choose from. And so we're going to stick with our team, mate.
So when I talk about the 17, which I do with great fondness, and I used to be able to say Bruce McAvaney is the face of 7. That's who should I go with now?
Oh, Mac is still the face of 7.
Not footy. Footy. Like Bruce McAvaney, the face of 7 footy's coverage, and I've been really comfortable saying that. Now I'm going to have to come up with another name. Who? Just tell me who I should go with.
Well, it's like a Melbourne Cup field.
I know that, but I need a winner.
I won't be declaring any winners at the moment other than to say that we've got a great team of callers, and I think that the team these days will be the overall face or the many faces of 7.
Is there a bit of posturing? Do you take calls from how who's the most, whose call number do you see bob up the most?
I know this is a source of fascination for you about what goes on the halls of 7 and who's pitching what.
Yes.
Well, all I can say to you is the person I spend most time with other than McAvaney,
Brian
Watson.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So Watson is the godfather, and I listen to Tim. And then,
is he coming back?
And I will. Watson's going to have to step up. There's
yes,
no doubt about that.
The face of 7's footy, Tim Watson.
Hey, Louis, Gary said off air this morning that maybe it's between Hamish, JB and BT. Could they have a round of holy moly to decide who it is?
Or tag.
Or tag, yes.
Tag would be funny. I think I'm not sure how Brian would go in tag. He might be caught early. No, I think it comes back to you, Tim, and don't divert it because I think it's time for you to step into the breach as the elder silver-haired statesman.
I've been thinking about nothing else since I heard the news, and I think the Wisp on a Friday opens up with the Wisp. In single shot.
No, Lewis said silver hair.
Single shot of the Wisp.
And
he does all the intro and then he throws to the team. I think that's how it should be.
Bring back the scarf and the jackets and the fashion labels. No, I think... No, Tim and I have already had a chat about this, if he was honest. And we've had that man-to-man chat. And I want Watts to step up and it's up to him now.
Oh, what say you to that on-air little sting?
I'll get Lewis to talk to my people and we see if we can't organise something.
And last one, Louis, and this comes every time we talk to you and every time I talk to Tim about footy, there's one person on our text machine who asks the same question. Talking footy, will that be back this year?
No, but stand by for a couple of announcements because we're certainly building into a really substantial sort of footy magazine offering across the coverage, but not talking footy coming back, no.
Harry Bryce, MCG.
Melbourne lead by 30 points. They're 10-18-78. Fitzroy 6-12-48.
Shane Healy, Adelaide 7-11-53. Carlton 6-7-43. Johnny Murphy, VFL Park.
North Melbourne lead by 6 points, 12-11-83. Longmire 5 goals to Brisbane 12-5-77.
That is the quintessential round the grounds, and we're going to rehash it or reinvigorate it or what am I doing? We're
reinvented,
rebirthing it. We're going round the grounds anyway. So on this weekend of practice matches, I know that everyone wants to take a lot out of it, Wisp, and that's great because we've missed footy. We've got the Amy series starting Thursday, St Kilda and Carlton, so that's on in a little bit more in earnest before the first round. But we thought we'd go round the grounds and just get a couple of takeaways for you. So Michelangelo Rucci, leading South Australian footy writer, part of the SEN family, Port Adelaide and Adelaide, Port Belted. And what do we take from it, Rooch? Round the grounds.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Gary. 50 points. A lot of damage for Adelaide when they lose Wayne Miller with a ruptured knee, which will be bad for the season. The hardest thing to read is when they're at extremes. Like Port Adelaide is going to be a premiership contender. Adelaide is going to be stuck in that bottom four is just how bad Adelaide was or just how good Port Adelaide is. Now, we'll see them again next Sunday at Noarlunga. But Adelaide's got a lot of work to do. I think we're pretty understanding of that. And Port Adelaide certainly has done a lot over the summer to make itself a more dimensional team than it was last year. So there's a bit to enjoy with Port and a bit to worry about with Adelaide. But I think we know exactly that was where they were starting the season anyway.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubters on Port. I haven't heard any. But I was just wondering about Adelaide. So Riley Tilthorpe, he played in the Sample, the big number one pick. He's 200 centimetre plus, kicked 4 goals, 2. Was that a Sample practice match?
Yeah, so what happened was the excess Port Adelaide and Adelaide players then played an earlier trial game. Now, from what we saw, Phil thought they pretty well need to step him up next week into that senior list. just to see, give him a taste of what AFL's like and see whether he really is a contender for round one. So that's the sort of stuff that gives the Adelaide fans some hope. And the fact that next Sunday at Noarlunga they actually have open gates so the fans can see the players is probably another good reason why they should pump him up to the number one lineup.
Hey, Rich, before we let you go, Fantasia stepped out for Port Adelaide. Exciting or not?
Yeah, he gave them something extra and across that half-forward line. His second half was very, very energetic. They've got some interesting young players, Port Adelaide, and when you add in Aaliyah to give him some extra dimension in defence, Fantasia to give him some extra bite in attack, they could be very interesting this year.
Rich, they might be the most watchable team, I think, in season 2021. Thanks for your time this morning. Michelangelo Rucci leading South Australian footy right over there in Adelaide.
Around the grounds, let's go to Russell Barwick, part of the SEN family. Sydney and the Giants, they played a draw. Russell, what can you tell us?
I can tell you some really good things about the three rookies for the Sydney Swans, Braden Campbell, Errol Goulden and Logan McDonald. Ooh. McDonald didn't really get a lot of the ball up forward, but I have not seen too many better users of the ball than Braden Campbell. When you see this kid, he just hits it lace out right on the chest. Errol Goulden, very smart. They'll come off the halfback and the wing. And according to Dane Rampey, the captain of the Swans, who was helping us out with a bit of commentary online, he said that all three will debut in the first round.
Wow.
You can put that one down. And I'm trying to work out. He told me that three Swans debuted, I think, back in 2015. George Hewitt and Tom Papley and one of the other boys that came out of, two came out of the previous draft. And I think George Hewitt was two or three years earlier. But I'd struggle to think that three draft picks from the previous year would debut in round one the following season. So,
well, Russell,
get on that, Jared Waitley.
Tim Watson's just gone nuts. Braden Campbell, he declared him last week as going to have the biggest impact as Matthew Rowe.
Oh, mate, well, I can tell you that I responsibly gambled a bit of money on him to win the Rising Star at $16, and I also had a little flavour on Errol Goulden at $25. So that's how impressed I was. And I've never seen Dane Rampey so excited about a couple of young guys. And you know, granted, I don't know Dane that well, but He was over the moon. Tom Hickey went okay in the ruck, and the other one for the Swans was McCartan back in defence away from the forward line for a bit.
I'm hearing that he's going to have a magnificent season as well. What about GWS? What caught your eye there?
The young ruckman, well, not young, he's been in the system about half a dozen years. Matt Flynn went okay. Bruin was probably the only young bloke that we saw a lot of in the first three quarters. Went okay, but the cream, I think it was more the regulars back in form, Canelio, Kelly, Tom Green was very, very good. He's going to be a terrific player. It was a bit of a scrappy match. It was misty rain and not the greatest game to watch, but they'll meet again next week. It was a 54-all draw. So GWS just building nicely. They're either going to finish top five or they're going to finish outside the 10. There's no middle ground for GWS, I don't think, this year. And as long as the good players stay healthy, I think they'll be okay.
Good on you, Russell. Thank you very much. Part of our Around the Grounds team. We now go up to Queensland. Michael Whiting from AFL.com.au. You saw Brisbane make a mess of Gold Coast, Michael.
I did, and I saw Joe Danaher play his first game for Brisbane and staff. He kicked four goals, kicked one in the first minute, looked super fit, taking contested marks on the lead, kicked a couple from outside 50. So,
Michael, really, I've just got to stop you because looks like he's got heartburn. So I'm just going to jump in. Can you tell me, I've read all of the reports. So variously I read, played Gold Coast, didn't have Sam Collins, didn't have their two key defenders, made a mess of some second stringers all the way through until the rest of the competition should be shaking in their boots. Where do you sit on it?
I mean, in the middle ground. He looked super fit and you've got to be impressed with what he did. But he did have Charlie Ballard and Caleb Graham as the key defenders. They're 20 and 21 years old. Ballard will play in their team every week. I think everyone's seen a lot of him. He spent most of the time on Joe, and the service was pretty good. Brisbane was dominant. So he kicked 4-3. It was very impressive. I think he's somewhere in between. Looking forward to watching him probably against Sam Collins when their teams match up next week. Collins expected to play, so we might get a better indication then, I reckon. But we saw not only him, but the flow-on effect then of Eric Hipwood kicking four goals, getting the second-best defender. I think that's probably just as big a thing for Brisbane, having Hipwood getting the second defender instead of the first. So encouraging signs for those forwards for sure.
Suns, what stood out for you watching the Suns at the weekend?
Just good to watch Matt Rowell play again. He only played the first half. The shoulder's fine. He looks really fit. He did need the run. I thought he was a little bit fumbly. He got run down from behind once. But generally, it was encouraging just to see him out there. Nothing wrong with his body. Good to see him play. Noah Anderson playing a bit more inside the contest. And we'll see a lot more of that this year. Really liked what he did. And then Isaac Rankin, of course, he kicked a couple of goals, one freakish one from the pocket. And a bit like Anderson, he spent a bit more time on ball as well. I think we'll see a bit more of that this season.
Nice, Michael. Nice addition to the Around the Grounds team. We'll talk again. Thanks very much, Michael Whiting, AFL.com.au. Let's go over to the West, the best in the West. That's what he wants to be described. Tim Sausage Gossage had a look at Fremantle. They're 47-point winners over West Coast. And Sausage was too early to take our call, so he had to dial it in. Go ahead, Sausage.
The result was extremely promising for Fremantle, kicking 15 goals when goals have been their issue in the past. Young was outstanding, Sarong, Brayshaw in the midfield, and Fife, who only played the first half, played mid-forward, but again just showed his true class. In summary, West Coast have got some work to do, but they've still got plenty of stars to come back. And Fremantle, I think they're tracking okay. They've got some real talent in that group, but again, they need their best 25-26 available. The biggest concern out of the game, some of those horrid 50-metre penalties played against players for one step off the mark in the stationary man on the mark incidents. There was a couple of those that were pretty glaring. All in all, thumbs up Frio, line ball West Coast.
Oh, I hope you had a good sleep in, Sausage. Thank you very much.